listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly joining us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, which is customary for this program. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for the full expanded version of these 9 principles of belief, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, we're going to talk about the art of order and balance. And we're glad that you can join us, those listening live, those listening to the archives as well. Appreciate your time. If you have a question along the way, if you're listening live, don't hesitate to put it in the chat room. We can entertain that. And so let's dive into this topic of order and balance. You know, I've said a lot of times in this program and in the curriculum in our schools that adversity is simply a state of disorder. Think about that for a minute. If you have adversity in your life, it's nothing more or less than simply a state of disorder. And when you put things back in their proper order, the adversity vanishes in due time. And so that's certainly a huge argument for having order and balance in your life. And don't forget, too, that, you know, our outside world is a reflection of our inside world. So if our outside world is just a mess, well, that gives you some clues onto what the inside world's like as well. And so we want to talk a little bit about bringing order and balance to our lives. One of the best places to do that, and the easiest places really, to organize and clear your mind is to clear your space that you live in. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, are you living in a cluttered mess or is it clean and tidy? And this is a lot about organization too. You know, we need to be organized. If we're living in a cluttered mess, it's going to be virtually impossible to have a clear mind, an organized mind. It's going to be virtually impossible to be as successful as we should be if we're living in a mess. So one of the first things to do with our life is to organize it. And that can be as simple as taking one area of our life at a time and organizing it, putting it back in its proper order. One of the things to keep in mind for this is that everything should have a place and should be in its place, unless you're using it, you know, but have a place for everything that you have. And if you have too much stuff, then that's the time to start deciding what needs to go. If you've got too much stuff and not enough space or whatever the case may be, you know, in other words, don't hoard. We don't want a cluttered mess of stuff. Well, we might use that someday. Now, everything I say here, you know, you got to be reasonable with stuff. I mean, I keep certain things around because I know at some point in the future I'm going to need them. And it has a lot to do with, you know, house maintenance or projects that I do. I keep certain things. I keep them. So I use them on occasion. But I don't keep everything. You know, I mean, there's some things I may never use. And if they're really cheap and I have no immediate or foreseeable use for them, you know, then I let them go. And so that's the thing to do, is to organize your space and start. If your house is a cluttered mess, start with one room. Start with the kitchen. You know, put it in its proper order. Start with a closet and just do one thing at a time. Maybe take a day and do one thing and another day and do another thing and keep it in order. That takes a little self-discipline as well. We have to, when we're done using something, we put it back where we store it. And that will keep our environment a little more organized. Because, you know, even clutter can take an emotional toll as well. And it just drains us of energy. We can just be so tired. You know, I've seen places, even of relatives, that have just a cluttered mess. And they were never clean. And, you know, you go there and you see that and you think, wow. You know, and it was true. It was very indicative of her life. Her house was nothing more than an outward manifestation of the inner clutteredness that she had. And pretty much stayed that way for as long as I knew her.
You know, I just went through that in stages in about a year. And I started with my kitchen, all my old stuff. And then it went to my office stuff and then my art stuff and my fabrics and my sewing stuff. And now I got a pile of garbage on my deck and I haven't been there yet. So it's just clearing things away. I tell you, it is so uplifting to get rid of the extraneous things, just things that I kind of had a rule. If I haven't used something, because I have a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of supplies and things. If I haven't used it for 2 years, I'm not likely going to.
Yeah.
And I know some people say if you haven't used it in a year, but, you know,
More than six months.
Yeah, well, thing is, I go through phases of, you know, different kinds of art and stages. So I know that, gee, this is that and that's this. And you know, things that I know I'm not going to use again. So, or use again. And just like you say, you have some things that are fundamental to your home and you say, yeah, I'm going to use that. But like you, I have seen people when I think, wow, how do they possibly think they're ever going to use that again? and it is indicative of some people. Yeah, and I think our society measures itself by acquisition. So the more stuff you have, the more successful you feel, or it's a station in life or a status and so on. But really, I think we're going beyond that now to understand that that's not the value of life. That's not the real substance in it. It's more about how orderly, organized, and how stable you feel, like your core. A good friend of mine said years ago, the best thing he ever did was get rid of all of his things. Honestly, he lived out of a suitcase and he put stuff in storage and went traveling. And he said, I've never felt so light and free in my life. Yeah. And he's a very successful man. So it depends on what somebody's goals are, what your life functions are, what you plan to do. But it makes such a difference to have all that stuff gone.
Good. And it does. And you know, and that's why I wanted to stress, you got to be reasonable about all things. That's part of being balanced and in order, is being reasonable too. So you have to make the call. But if you've got stuff stored all over the place, you know, and it's just really serving no useful function, you know, it's time to let it go. And that will help you immensely. Remember, you know, when you are in the midst of clutter, your life is going to have more adversity in it because that's what you're used to. And if your house is a mess, it's likely your relationships are a mess. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule here, but it's indicative of that. So we want to clear up, order up, organize up, and balance up our lives. And that, in turn, will help us to have a clear, mind. And then we can devote that, our mind, our mental faculties, our emotional resources to our mission and our purpose and what we want to accomplish in life.
You know, Jenny just made a comment in the chat room that she's horrible at saving sentimental items. And I don't know if horrible is the word for it. And I would just like to inject that I have also gone through stages, Jenny, where everything has a story. You know, everything from my kids when they were growing up, who made something, you know, little things in art class, or then I have some antiques and stuff and that I've kept, and even little items, and everything has a story, and that's where sentiment comes in. And I don't think it's wrong to be sentimental. However, I do know that with time and age, that begins to change. You know, our emotional investment into things does transform. It shifts. And I've gone through stages where, okay, I gave my kids all of their, you know, baby stuff and got rid of all their other, like, and I asked them step by step, you know, I have these things that you made. Would you like to have them now? Because they're older. And so I started kind of letting go of those sentimental things. And the very special antiques and different things that I have, I've actually sat my family down and say, what things here, if there's things I still want to have around me, but what things would you like to have? And I'm going to tell you the story. So if somebody's attached to that story and they think that, because sentiment is not a bad thing, but it can be cumbersome. I remember years ago I was moving and my daughter was helping me and she started throwing a bunch of stuff around. I said, whoa, what are you doing? She says, well, you don't use this stuff. That doesn't mean anything. I said, whoa, that's my story. And when I'm ready to let go of that story, I'll do that. But you can't decide that for me. So I know. And it's like, oh man, I'm taking all this stuff around. But that's part of our process. I think that's part of our life. Wendy just said that. She said it's funny, she just spent the time today going through old boxes and organizing, and she just moved, decided it was time to go through things. And so we do go through phases, and the point, I think, of this conversation is when things are weighing you down and, you know, holding you back and kind of making your mind stupid, like sometimes yeah. It does, then you know it's time to say, okay, what's really of value to me? And even the sentimental things, because I got to tell you, I have a collection of teacups from my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my mother, and it now belongs to my granddaughter. So I have it in a little china cabinet, and I've said to my kids, this belongs to my granddaughter, and when I'm gone, it doesn't matter. But that's the intent. So where it goes after me is not my business, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, so enjoy what you love to have around you. But again, if it doesn't have order, then it's not pleasant. And I guess that's what I would like to say about that.
And and if, you know, if you have sentimental things, which we all do, you know, put them in a curio cabinet or something like that. Put them in a place so they can be observed and appreciated, and yet they're not serving to clutter up your space in your life. Yeah. If possible, you know, organize it. Here's another tip for handling paperwork. You know, we get mail, we get stuff like that. And if you know, working at a business, you're probably dealing with paperwork. They call it the RAT method. You know, it's RAT. Refer it, act on it, or toss it. You know, so, and the objective here is to handle a piece of paper only once if possible. So you refer it to somebody who needs it, or you act on it. That can mean filing it or dealing with it, processing, whatever that means. Or you toss it. And that can help you to keep paperwork in line. But the idea here is to organize your life. And so, if you know, we all have bills and stuff we get in the mail, bills in the mail, that sort of thing. You should have some kind of an organizer for your bills and your receipts. You know, I use a box. In my case, that's all I need, you know, a small box. And my receipts, you know, grocery receipts or things like that, things I purchase, I keep them in there, you know, and it's per year, you know, sometimes 2 years. And I won't likely need them again, but I may on some of the important stuff. So, and there's been a time or two I've had to go fish and find the receipt that I need, but it's out of the way. It's not sitting on the desk or on the counter or anything like that. All right. So the big thing here is if you're finding that your life is cluttered, begin the process of decluttering it and start with a little, you know, bite-sized chunks, a little, one thing at a time. And if it's your house that's a cluttered mess, start with the kitchen. That's a big part of, you know, your day. Start there. Move to the front room, living room, then the bedrooms. And, you know, teach your children to do the same thing. You know, every day they should make their bed. Why? I'll tell you why. For one big reason. If your bed is not made, the bedroom's a mess. If your bed's made, the room is a lot less messy. Think about that. I picked that up from Zig Ziglar decades ago. And it's true. You know, when your bed's made, it just, your room looks less cluttered. So teach your children this and then get in the habit of putting things back in their place when you're done with them, not letting them stack up. And that's going to have real benefits to your outside life because now and your inside world because now your mind is clear and it's not cluttered as well. So it's a matter of forming new habits. And it takes a little self-discipline to get into that habit. But once you're there, hey, it's a habit. All right. If anyone else have any points they'd like to add to this?
Well, I don't necessarily have any additional points to add. There was a word that was just on the tip of my tongue. It's anthropomorphism. It's a word that means the attribution of human traits, emotions, or intentions on inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about it because we tend to do that a lot with material things that we have. And also, I just say, you know, a lot of times if we have something that we're not using and we, you know, take it to Goodwill, Salvation Army, what have you, a place where it can be repurposed and somebody else can get use out of it, or Craigslist even,
mm-hmm.
then do so because then it's going to improve somebody else's life while it's not improving yours. It's part of the balance of the overall universe, too.
Good points. All right. Well, in a moment, we're going to pull cards, inner oracle cards. So if you'd like a card pulled for you and yourself, just put your name in there and let us know, and we'll do that. And perhaps to get us started off, Dr. Hunter, you want to pull a card for the evening for
I did.
Group? All right.
I did already. I pulled education, number 39.
Good one.
It is. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. You know, my first thing that comes to mind when reading this is about finding some things in life interesting. Because if you're interested, you learn. If you're not interested, you're not learning anything.
Yeah.
So that's my first thing, and that's something that I'm always looking at. What are people interested in? I think everybody furthers their education in things that they value, things that interest them in what provides for them. You know, we've said that very, very often people don't do anything unless there's something in it for them. And yet, I think that there are other things to look at besides the things that are just opportunity. So let's be interested. And I think that's part of what the show is about. Just staying interested.
Part, yeah. Well, in education and spiritual growth, you know, which is so much more important than other things. All right, so I think Sherry is next.
Oh, you want to pull a card for Sherry there, Michael?
Oh, absolutely, I'd be happy to.
You know, let me go back because I misspoke. Sherry looks like she does want a card, but it's Jeannie that I think was the first.
Jeannie. There we go. Pull a card. Tune in, Michael, and pick one for Jeannie.
Sherry, sorry about that. I blame it on being 59. and a half.
I've pulled 18. It is evolution.
Evolution, good.
And evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Good.
Good one. You know, I see where Sherry has asked for a card to be pulled for her daughter, Kim. Yeah. And I kid you not, I pulled number 8, Balance and Order.
Well, let's read it because it'll add to our discussion earlier. I was wondering sure if we will. Would pull that card or not. I really was.
It just, as I was reading the chat, Michael's talking, and I pull a card, and I went, oh, you're kidding. This is amazing. So this is for Kim. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present, or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order's restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. You know, I might just add in there that once you have things organized and once you have attained a state of, you know, balance and order, it's, then you get a clarity of mind. And sometimes it's just a matter of taking a few minutes a day, a week, to say, okay, and allow new ideas to come in. That's what comes to mind for Kim, to be honest, intuitively. So it's allow some new ideas to filter in and get you motivated or some incentive and excite you. So there.
Good.
So now we have for Dr. Jeff, Michael.
And Dr. Jeff, I've pulled, this is number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according the path that is right for you.
Yeah, that's good a good one. Always a good one.
Now, Fran has selected number 24 for the room.
Let's go to... We can read them, but Jenny was next.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
See, I'm infectious, you know.
There it goes. This is
blame me for that.
Okay, I get it. Let me just, Jenny, I am pulling a card for you. Preference Principle number 33. Now that's this is one kind of adage that I referred to a lot in my life, actually. So this one's for you. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. That's a huge lesson to learn in life. And, you know, sometimes it's a little reminder, but it's certainly one that I check in with all the time, Jenny. So I hope that that resonates with you in some way today, too.
Then Wendy is next.
All right, Michael, you're up for Wendy.
All right, Wendy, I pulled number 44, Attitude and Disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Yep, I've been preaching that one for a long time. How hard can it be? Let's get her done.
All right, so now is Fran, if I have the chat, following the chat right, she picked for the room, number 24. And I also did select a card for you too, Fran. So, but for the group tonight, number 24 is truth. So thanks for that, Fran. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there's a truth in something or in a direction. You know, what comes to mind as I'm reading that too is something I often tell people, never feel guilty for utilizing something that everybody has access to. There tends to be with people, well, you know, I don't want to step out of the circle. I don't want to use that. I should wait for people. But the cosmic, all that information is in the cosmic for everybody. And if you get it and you have a truth in your hand, you move with it. You can't wait for other people. You can't feel badly that they don't know about it. You can't stop and educate people unless it, you know, if it's going to hinder your journey, you have to keep moving forward. But always being considerate that you're changing and others don't know you're changing. That's just something I wanted to throw in there. So.
And before you go into the next for Fran, I just want to mention, we're hearing the tapping too. I'm not sure where it's coming from. And sorry about that.
I don't know where it's coming from either.
Maybe there's somebody else on the line too, you know.
I assume the NSA is always listening to something. Maybe
well, listen, you guys, if you're going to listen, fine. Okay, just stop tapping the mic.
All right. Well, I'm not touching my mic. I'm not touching anything, so here we go. Now, for you, Fran, I got number 34, take and release ownership. So however this resonates for you tonight. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy relationship for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what's yours and releasing the rest. That's a lesson for all of us right there.
Good.
Who do we have next in the chat?
Let's see.
Let me scroll just a little bit. And I believe Dr. Shirley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Dr. Shirley, I pulled number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Good. Energy signatures are a huge thing, you know.
Yeah.
It explains so much of why certain people are with other people or in the relationships we're in. Because our energy signature or our vibe, they're harmonically compatible. And they're either healthy or unhealthy. I mean, well, it's not so black and white, or they could be in between, but like attracts like. If we have a healthy energy signature, we're going to tend to attract healthy people into our life. And conversely, if we have an unhealthy energy signature, that's what we're going to attract. So if we're in some kind of a toxic relationship or a bad relationship of some sort, the first place to look is at yourself. You need to make your energy signature healthy. And you do that through self-improvement, self-development, evolution, personal growth and learning new ways, life skills, learning new ways to behave, your attitude, you know, boundaries, all that stuff goes into the mix to make us who we are.
You know, what comes to mind is someone I talked to the other day about who's wanting to be in a relationship, and I think I've said this on the program before, but I'll reinforce it now. And talking about energy signatures, I said you only ever want to put it out there in the universe that you're ready to share your energy with somebody who's on the same vibrational frequency as yourself. Never mind the lists and the, I want this and that and this and that. It's just, you know, let it be. Get out of your mental thing and work from the heart. And, you know, somebody who's on the same vibrational frequency of your, as yourself. That's like a an intended meditation if you're looking for sharing a relationship in some way. So I just wanted to share that.
All right, good. Well, I don't believe we have any other card requests, so that was the last one. So tonight we've talked about the art of order and balance. Remember that adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. You put things back in its proper order and the adversity will go away. And that, you know, that goes deeper than that. You know, our life, if our life is cluttered, our outside world's cluttered, our inside world's cluttered. We declutter beginning with the outside and that will seep into the inside. And we, at the same time, work on ourselves, clear our minds, you know, organize our thoughts, learn life skills and all the things we talked about tonight. And that will necessarily take us to a new height, a new level of awareness. We will grow. So good stuff. And before we close out the program for tonight, I just want to read a brief quote and start the music, son. This was posted on Facebook by one of our graduate students, Dr. Deirdre Kavner. She shared it, and it basically says this: before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I thought that was a really good thought. You know, when we say things, is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Just because we think something doesn't mean we have to say it, especially if it's not necessary or if it's unkind. So hopefully that's a good thought to give, something to think about, something to ponder. We certainly appreciate everybody's kind time and attention tonight, those listening to the live program, those listening to the archive. We're glad you could join us in this. Next week we'll be back with another topic as well. And thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael Kelly as always. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.